That means it's Gaza corner time. Undemocratic regimes don't need really any excuse to shut down a civil society. Whether they're targeting human rights activists or academics, authors, politicians, journalists, artists, or just spotting an insulting tweet, the justification often used to silence your voice and often land you in prison is simply labeling you a terrorist. That is all it takes. And the latest glaring example occurred Thursday morning Palestine time, August the 19th. Seven organizations, Al-Haq, Adamir, Defense for Children International Palestine, the Union of Agricultural Work Committees, the Baisan Center for Research and Development, and the Union of Palestinian Women's Committees, six of those had been designated by Israel already as terrorist organizations back in October of 2021, and they were all raided by Israeli forces. And several of these six targeted organizations document alleged human rights violations, not just by Israel, but by the Palestinian Authority as well. That's the political entity that controls the area that Israel has allotted to the Palestinians in the West Bank. And both the Palestinian Authority and Israel routinely detain Palestinian activists. According to Al Jazeera, since 1967, Israel has banned more than 400 local and international organizations, including all major Palestinian political parties. Mazen Rantisi is the head of the board of directors for one of the targeted NGOs, the Union of Agricultural Work Committees, also known as UHWC. It runs several hospitals and dozens of clinics across the occupied West Bank. And Rantisi said, quote, "They raided our offices at dawn, broke the doors, they took documents and computers, they wrecked the place, and welded the doors shut with metal. We found a document plastered on the door in Hebrew only, saying this is a closed organization, we are not allowed to enter. The closure means that it's illegal under Israeli military law, and for settlers in the occupied West Bank, it's Israeli civil law, but for Palestinians in the occupied West Bank, it's under a much more draconian military law, and it would be now illegal under Israeli military law for the Palestinian employees to enter their offices." Rantisi went on to say, quote, "The goal is to put obstacles in the way of civil society so that it doesn't develop. It is part of destroying Palestinian society and to make Palestinians feel defeated," unquote. Israel has yet to provide any public evidence to back up the terrorist allegations. What Israel has said publicly is that these groups have alleged links to the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, known as PFLP. And PFLP is, in my opinion, is not a terrorist group, but is considered one in the geopolitical chess game played by the United States and the European Union. And the PFLP is a political group that includes a secular leftist political party. It has an armed wing that has attacked Israeli soldiers and civilians. As I explained in Gaza Corner recently, the Security Council, the UN Security Council, years ago passed resoundingly a resolution that recognizes the right to resist when you're under military occupation. Israel has outlawed the PFLP, including the political party, although it does still conduct political activities, including participating in Palestinian elections, whenever they do occur, which is not very often these days. The Gaza Corner section on the playlist has a link. It's all the way at the bottom to a 2011 interview with Abdel Alim Dana, who is a former prisoner and PFLP leader. It's a rather interesting interview. The news outlet 972 Mag and The Intercept obtained classified documents that show, in their view, that the accusations are suspect. Israel claimed it was, quote-unquote, unequivocal intelligence against the Palestinian NGOs. That was 10 months ago. So the Biden administration has had 10 months to mull it over and has still not made a public conclusion about the evidence. There was a State Department press conference just 2 days ago, Thursday, and at that press briefing, spokesman Price was grilled by a couple of reporters, and those reporters were from the AP, Matthew Lee, and Al-Quds's Saeed Erekat, and they questioned him about the raid. And Price expressed, quote-unquote, concern about the raids and said the administration was awaiting additional evidence from Israel. Additional evidence, which wasn't available apparently the first 10 months. The reporters asked why it hadn't released a statement about the evidence from last October, and Price admitted, quote, we have not seen anything that has caused us to change our position, unquote. This was the first indication the Biden administration does not share Israel's position, but Price did not condemn the raids. He did say, though, quote, independent civil society organizations in the West Bank and Israel must be able to continue their important work. Civil society is an integral element to thriving democracies in the world, and of course, that applies here, unquote. The U.S. has neither funded any of these NGOs, these seven NGOs, nor declared them to be terrorist organizations. Israel and Palestine director at Human Rights Watch, Omar Shakir, was deported for documenting Israeli human rights abuses in November 2019. That's his job. He got deported for doing his job. Quote from Omar Shakir, they are carrying out an unprecedented all-out assault on human rights advocates, which Palestinians are bearing the brunt of. Tepid statements won't stop Israel's repression. States should call clearly for the Israeli government to reverse its designations and to allow human rights groups to carry out their vital work unhindered. We're ringing the alarm bell. We're facing the very real prospect that widely respected rights defenders will be imprisoned and their assets seized. The international community must act before it's too late. The fate of human rights advocacy in Israel and Palestine may well hang in the balance, unquote, the words of Israel and Palestine director at Human Rights Watch, Omar Shakir. Amnesty International also was outspoken. Amna Gwalali, deputy director for the Middle East and North Africa, stated, quote, these organizations have contributed enormously to human rights in the OPT, which is the Occupied Palestine Territory, and across the globe, yet Israeli army boots trample all over their work. Amnesty International stands proudly in solidarity with our Palestinian partners and calls on all governments to condemn the Israeli army's attack on Palestinian civil society. The international community needs to work together not only to open the offices of these seven organizations, but also to honor their calls to support the International Criminal Court's investigation into the Palestine situation and for international condemnation of Israel's apartheid against Palestinians, unquote. Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley tweeted, quote, the U.S. must condemn any effort anywhere to undermine life-saving humanitarian work. That's why I led 21 colleagues in a letter to the State Department regarding Israel's criminalization of six Palestinian human rights organizations supporting low-income folks, women and girls, clean water, and more. Also tweeting on August 18th, Representative Andre Carson, "I am upset by the latest attacks by the Israeli army on Palestinian human rights groups. Silencing human rights defenders is an attempt to avoid accountability. I reiterate calls from myself and my colleagues that the Biden administration immediately condemn this repression," unquote. Last year, Representative Betty McCollum introduced a resolution calling on the administration to condemn Israel's quote-unquote authoritarian and anti-democratic repression of the human rights groups. She also tweeted on Thursday, "Once again, the IDF, that's the Israel Defense Forces, has launched a chilling attack on Defense for Children International Palestine, a human rights organization supporting Palestinian children. The Biden administration must condemn these efforts to silence groups advocating for Palestinian human rights and civil society," unquote. Israeli forces are rarely held accountable for grave violations against Palestinian children, including unlawful killings and excessive use of force. Many children have been killed recently, including in the recent Gaza bombing by Israel. Khaled Kuzmar, who is director of Defense of Children International Palestine, told the publication The New Arab on August 18th, quote, "This new step makes our work even riskier, as our staff might be subject to arrest. We work directly with victims of Israeli violations, providing legal aid, psychosocial support, and rights awareness to children subjected to Israeli violence and their families. Just today, we are starting an awareness workshop for 50 children between 13 and 15. But families might be afraid to send their children now, and we understand," unquote. DCIP's Brad Parker, who was senior advisor for policy and advocacy, was on Democracy Now! Just yesterday. He had this to say.
You know, over the past 10 months, you know, the conduct by Israeli authorities to criminalize us and criminalize our work is really part of a years-long campaign to delegitimize and essentially criminalize the work that we do to expose grave violations against Palestinians at the hands of Israeli forces.
The EU has been a bit more outspoken than the United States. The EU diplomacy chief spokeswoman Nabila Masral stated, quote, "Past allegations of misuse of EU funds in relation to certain Palestinian civil society organizations have not been substantiated," unquote. Earlier this month, the EU decided to unfreeze, because they froze funds when last year these terrorist allegations were first designated by Israel. But they decided to unfreeze them, and a majority of the EU member states voted in favor. Hungary voted against it. But despite the vote, the EU Commission in Brussels has not yet officially announced that the funds would be unfrozen. For a little context, for more than 6 months, the EU, which is the largest donor for the Palestinian people, withheld 215 million euros after the Hungarian EU commissioner tried to get EU support for a condition forcing the Palestinian Authority to remove quote-unquote anti-Israel content from school textbooks. In July, Belgium, Denmark, France, Germany, Ireland, a big supporter of the Palestinians, Italy, the Netherlands, Spain, and Sweden released a joint statement on the Israeli designations stating that, quote, no substantial information was received from Israel that would justify reviewing our policy towards the six Palestinian NGOs on the basis of the Israeli decision to designate these NGOs as terrorist organizations. In the absence of such evidence, we will continue our cooperation and strong support for the civil society in the occupied Palestine territory, unquote. Probably the most well-known and, I would say, effective Israeli human rights lawyer is Michael Sefard. He represents some of these designated groups. He said that the attacks on the human rights NGOs was motivated out of, quote, a desire to frustrate the International Criminal Court investigations, unquote. Three of the groups that were raided, Al-Haq, Adamir, and Defense for Children International Palestine, have provided evidence to the Hague's investigation of war crimes in the West Bank and Gaza. Israeli Defense Minister Benny Gantz, he's the one who took the lead imposing these terrorist designations last year, and he is a likely suspect in the ICC's investigation over his role in Israel's targeting of civilians during its bombing campaigns in Gaza. In an official statement, the United Nations agencies and the Association of International Development Agencies working in the occupied Palestinian territory said, quote, despite offers to review the allegations, Israeli authorities have not given any compelling evidence to the United Nations agencies nor its NGO partners working in the occupied Palestinian territory to support these designations. We urge the government of Israel to refrain from any action that would prevent these organizations from continuing their critical human rights, humanitarian, and development work in the occupied Palestinian territory, unquote. Foundation for Middle East Peace. And by the way, if you Google Foundation for Middle East Peace, you can join their email list. If you're interested in what's going on in Israel and Palestine, it really is a must email thread that she sends out. It's fantastic. The president is Laura Friedman, and she was rather blunt. She said, quote, the Biden administration has had Israel's, quote unquote, evidence for almost a year. It clearly knows this evidence is BS. Otherwise, there is no doubt they would have validated Israel's designations, designating the groups themselves. But knowing the evidence was BS, they appear to have taken the politically and morally cowardly approach of staying silent, an approach that amounts to foreign policy gross negligence / complicity, unquote. Michael Schaefer Omerman, Director of Research for Israel and Palestine for DAWN, DAWN's the acronym, Democracy for the Arab World Now, he put it succinctly in a tweet. If using the law is not a legitimate form of resistance, then what is left?